Yeah, and we'll pray for Lisa because she usually brings the popcorn. So thank you, Lisa, for all the times you bring popcorn. And that's a real... It is funny how it changes the dynamic a little bit, doesn't it? So, anyway. Okay. I think I'll be fine, but I've got a little something going on in my ear, and every once in a while it just talks to me really fast. The pain shoots through, so hopefully I won't be jittering up here. Anyway, well, let's just ask the Lord to help us. Thank you so much. That's great. Let's just ask God to help us. Father, we thank you that you are our Father. We can say that with confidence in our through the Lord Jesus. We thank you that we can get together and have fellowship. We know we're in the same family. We thank you that we can just enjoy family. We just want to amen all the prayers that have already gone up. I thank you for those here who are so faithful in praying and upholding the needs of the saints and those around us. We do pray that you will help us be strong in our spiritual lives and in our prayer lives, and that you will be pleased and you will accomplish your will in our lives and in this ministry. We pray you'll guide us in our thoughts right now. May your will be accomplished. May the words that you want stated be stated. May they be consistent with your inerrant word. And so we just entrust our time and ourselves to you in Christ's name. Amen. I was thinking, if you think back to when you, early on in your Christian life, what was your expectation or several of your expectations about what the Christian life would be like? And you might just think a second. I mean... you think, what do you think it would be like? Probably where we started from, wherever we were saved, that would shape it in some measure. The people that were around us, that would shape it. The kind of church we were in, that would shape it in some measure. The leaders in that church, the friends, the Christian families around us. I was thinking, for some individuals, now there's, and I'm thinking beyond our own boundaries, some individuals probably started the Christian life with unrealistic expectations. Some probably had accurate expectations, but they didn't seem to turn out the way they had hoped it would. I was thinking about an individual, and I don't know if I've shared this story or not, but this was back in Nova Scotia, a young man, not super young, but a younger man. I remember several times he talked to me about things, and something was always kind of not exactly the way it should be in his mind, and he made some really poor decisions himself after becoming a Christian. So that complicated, and I don't need to go into all the details. But he made quite a few poor decisions, and the concept, you know, I've said various times, you can make your choices, but you can't control your consequences. And that's kind of what happened in his life. And at this point, he kind of, in his mind, all his problems were really caused by the church, by this group of people that I was involved with. And so I think that's part of it. But I remember a day he came into the office where I was at, and kind of, he talked. I don't think it was a very long conversation. But what he said, he says, I want to leave this church. I'm never coming back, and I want my fellowship to be concluded. I don't have any more to do with this. And part of, I think what he was thinking. I don't want to be put under discipline for my actions. I think that was part of it. But anyway. But I thought there was a really sad, sad day. Because, in part, his expectations were not met. Now, I think some of those expectations were foolish to start with. Some of them, he had brought about bad results because of poor choices. But still, you look at his Christian life, and I think, you know, I don't really have a reason to say he wasn't a Christian. Only the Lord knows that. But we all know these situations, don't we? Now, it may not be quite that way. It may have come about in a different way. But we all feel sad about situations. And so my thought is, as I kind of ponder this, you know, when we look at the Christian life, and this is perhaps a poor illustration, but when you come into the Christian life, it seems to me it's a little bit like a spiral staircase. You can either make, and it's kind of steps. Growing, don't you think, it's kind of like steps. It's not like taking the elevator. It's like you're growing. But you also, you can get to a certain point. I think a lot of times when we start the Christian life, especially if you've been around some relatively healthy Christians, you probably make some fairly good steps upward. But for some reason, something comes into your life. Maybe it's a bad relationship. You know, you could get caught up in some faulty thinking, faulty doctrine. You could have a Christian, and we all know these situations where a Christian has really offended another Christian, and that Christian decided, I'm never going back there again, and they don't go anywhere again. It could be a number of things. But then in that point, it's not that they're not a Christian, but they've taken a step. They've taken maybe two steps, maybe three steps down the spiral staircase, and they're not growing. They're kind of in limbo at that point. And their choices begin to get worse and their consequences get worse. And after a while, just like this young man, after a while, they're not in any church. They're not going on. Now we can say some of those people are not saved. I understand that. But it seems to me some of those people probably are saved. And you know, it does say some people, some individuals will actually go home early because of their bad choices. And we talked just a little about that. God will take them home early. I think it's so they don't make a bigger mess in their life. But we don't want to be on the spiral staircase going down. But what are our expectations? I mean, I think the Christian life is something that we can have high expectations. It can be a wonderful life. And that's where we were talking. We've been at, and this is, Lord willing, this is the last we'll deal with this, because I've had these little things that have kind of made a shorter series, a longer series. But I want to go back to the subject between death and life, and we'll conclude tonight. We started in Proverbs, and we're ending in Romans. Now, death is not only eternal death, it's not only physical death. We've also said there's a realm of fellowship death. A person is saved, but they're not walking tight with the Lord. And it's like they don't even know the Lord at some points in their journey. One has said this, and this is relating to Romans 7. We already dealt with this, but I want to restate this. The principle of death is still active within the believer. Death, with its companions, sin and the law, which talks about in Romans 7, can still make the Christian's life ineffective and unproductive. And I thought those two words are fairly true. Ineffective, unproductive. Because that person is not walking tight with the Lord. The Lord is the only source of life. Right? He's the only source of life. If we're not walking tight with him, we're not enjoying our source. We're not enjoying the source. Now let's go to Romans 8. And this picks up Romans 7 was such a downer. It said, "Oh, wretched man that I am," if you remember that phrase, in verse 24 of 7. And then we pick up in Romans 8. Therefore, Romans 8, 1. Therefore, and I know there's a little bit of a technical difference in versions. But I'll just read the version I have in front of me. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Now again, we're talking about the Spirit of life and the law of sin and death in this in this context. Now notice the word therefore. And I probably addressed this a little bit, but just let me highlight it so we have the passage in framed. Romans 8, the therefore, refers back to Romans 7. It's got to go some place back. Therefore, you're springing off of something. Therefore. It's often thought that this refers back to justification in Romans 5. That would be quite a bit of jump if you're going back from Romans 8 to Romans 5, justification. However, John Murray, who I read his commentary some years back, it's a solid, excellent commentary, but he says this, the word condemnation here can scarcely be interpreted apart from the immediately succeeding context. In this context, the apostle is not dealing with justification, but with sanctification, and with what God has done in Christ to deliver us from the power of sin. Now, that being the case, if that's the case, which I think it is, the condemnation he's talking about is not eternal separation from God, not eternal condemnation. It's the condemnation of living enslaved to indwelling sin. That's Romans 7. Oh, wretched man that I am. Paul was enslaved. His conscience was driving him crazy. The thing about Paul that makes it so interesting, Romans 7, Paul he passionately wanted to honor the Lord. And probably one reason we don't go into Romans 7 faster is sometimes we don't have the same passion Paul had to honor the Lord. But Paul passionately wanted to honor the Lord. He didn't want to mess up. He kept messing up. In this season of his life, he was struggling. And part of it was due to the law. Part of it was he was trying to do it in his own strength. The inner condemnation he's talking about, we don't have to be under this condemnation. We don't have to be in perpetual slavery to indwelling sin. Now, let's read the passage in the context of going back to our verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For, explaining, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Now, this is an interesting thing. I think it's a wonderful thing. He's explaining this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we're in Christ. The Spirit of God is within us. The Spirit is God, the third member of the Trinity. He expresses the life of God in us. He impresses it and expresses it through us. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free. Now, the freedom actually goes back that was established at the cross. Now, everything centers in the cross. Our justification centers in the cross. It was because of what Christ did for us on the cross. But also everything we need for the spiritual life started at the cross. The cross is so, it's not only essential to get us saved, it's essential to live out the Christian life God's way. Now notice what it says. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Notice, verse 3, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh. That's our real problem. We talked about that last time a little bit. God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh on the cross, right? That's where when he went to the cross. Now, he judged, when Christ died on the cross, in God's eyes, the believer is in Christ. When he died on the cross, the benefits of the cross have an application to us. Not only for salvation, initial justification, but for the benefit of sanctification. It's all wrapped up in what Christ accomplished. Now, because, and we said this and we say this again, our biggest enemy, you know, our biggest enemy, and I realize our culture is an enemy. I understand that. It is. I mean, the culture is anti-Christian. There's no doubt about it. And we're praying that God will protect us and the camp and all that. We're the, but our biggest enemy is not the culture. The biggest enemy is the flesh within us. That's what makes it so, it's a hidden. It's like an enemy that's, you know, wrapped up. I remember I met a guy one time. I was in Alaska, and we were at this kind of a show. They had, it was an art show, and so we were just walking around. So the people from all over the community, right? Well, this guy had been in Vietnam, and I think he was on the bottom of the totem pole for assignments, and so he had to go into the jungle and check out these, apparently the enemy would dig these holes, and the enemy would hide in those holes. And then if, and his what struck my heart, this guy, I felt sorry for this little guy. He just, you could see his life had really hit the pits. But anyway, his brother had been killed, and he and his brother had the same kind of job. They had to check these holes to see if the enemy was down there. And his brother was blown apart when he checked. And this little guy got out, but only his life was decimated, even as a civilian. But we have an enemy hidden. You know, and it's this flesh thing. It's selfish. You know, isn't it amazing how life can be a beautiful day. You're singing in the wind, you know, flowers are growing, grass is definitely growing, and somebody cuts you off, right? And you think, whoa, what did you just do? You just took my life out, right? You were just trying to take me out. It's amazing how fast our flesh can react. We took Marty's brother to the little lift lock museum, and we were just doing the, he's from the States, and he was with us just a few days last week. So we went there. And when you walked in, I don't even know why they had this display at the lift lock museum, but anyway, they had these snakes. Now, I double-checked that they weren't alive, that I could tell. Anyway, but one of them was all coiled up just like a rattler. That's what it was. It was one form of rattlesnake. And, of course, we had a lot of rattlers in the States. But that's what I perceive as the flesh like. It's like a rattlesnake, and it's coiled ready to strike. It's always coiled. It's quiet until it starts. You know, when you got the little thing flipping, you know you're in big trouble, right? But we need to make sure we deal with this rattlesnake. This is another little story. I don't know if I ever told you this, but my grandfather... my grandfather on my mom's side lived in Midwest Kansas, and poor wheat farmers, just poor. But they would, and then of course their kids went to a country school, and so the farmers would get together every season and they would hunt rattlers. And the reason was they had so many rattlesnakes, and these little kids were going to school, to the country school. So they would, and I don't know where it ever ended up. I was looking for it. I never did. I don't know where it ended up. But he had, this is just a little bit of a whole bunch of rattlesnake tails. You know, the rattlers. You cut them off, they get one, you cut them. But you know what? I'm thinking that was a little dangerous going rattlesnake hunting. But they were trying to protect their children. Well, we need to be cautious. We need to be careful. Now, God has made provision so we don't have to be bitten by the rattler. But the thing about the rattler, the thing about the flesh, Christ has made provision where we can resist it. But until we're with the Lord, it's still coiled. It's still coiled. And we can avoid it, but we need to be cautious with it. Okay. Now, notice, if you drop your eyes down to verse 6, for the mindset on the flesh, we almost might say the mindset of the flesh. Let's just think about that. When you're when you have a, there's so much about our Christian life that's wrapped around how we think, what we do with our mind, where we let it go, where we let it wander, what we focus on. If we are set on the things of the Spirit, what is the Spirit going to point us to? Well, the Spirit obviously is going to point us to the Word. The Spirit is going to take us to the Lord Jesus. The Spirit is going to, we're going to be inspired to pray. There's going to be the kinds of things that make the spiritual life healthy and vibrant. But when we're not doing that, and our mind is set by the flesh, it's going to be set, basically, we're open season for the culture to influence us, bad attitudes to infect us, things that are of the world, you know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, all of those things we're open season for if we're careless. I think that's a lot of times what happens. A new believer, they get excited, they come to Christ, they're excited. Maybe they, you know, they go to camp, they go to Sunday school, they go to youth group. But as time goes along, there's less and less and less of the importance of God in their heart. Now, usually that's a quiet diversion. Usually we don't see that on the outside, especially when they're young. But a quiet moving away. And then a lot of times, and we've all known this heartbreak, where many of us have known where the kids go away from home, and then later you think, oh man, how did that happen? Where did that come from, right? That didn't happen immediately. That was a process. That was going down that spiral staircase. Nobody saw it happening, probably, but it was going down. But a mindset on the flesh is death. Now, here, this death is separation of the believer from fellowship with God. Again, God is the source of life. He's the source of life, abundant life. The expectations of our Christian life should be high. But the definition of that is going to be determined by God and His Word, not by the culture or some false teaching, but by God and His Word. But we want fellowship with God, or we're going to be separated from the best in life. But, now this is in that same verse 6, but the mindset on the Spirit, the opposite of what the mindset on the flesh, the mindset on the Spirit, or of the Spirit, is life. And here we're talking about an abundant life lived in communion with God. I thought about this more and more. I think we underestimate the importance of intimacy with God. I think we've done that. You know, if you look at the great godly people that we read their books now, I mean, the people that we hold up. You know, one of my heroes, as I've said to you, is Hudson Taylor. You look at people like that. They had an intimacy with God. They had intimacy with God. And that's what made their life count. It didn't make their life easy, but it made their life abundant. Because they were drawing on the life of God. They were in intimate fellowship with God. And of course, there are many things to distract us from that. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. And we'll come back to that in a little bit. Now, drop down to verse 12. So then, I've got to hurry up. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh. We don't have to live by the flesh. That's what Christ made provision. We don't have to live by the flesh. We can say no to the flesh. We're not under obligation to the flesh to live according to the flesh. If you're living according to the flesh, and this is the context, notice it's brethren. If you're living according to the flesh, believers, you must die. And one puts this comment. This does not suggest that a believer who sins will face eternal death in hell. But it does mean he will not enjoy his spiritual life. Now, again, isn't that what we see around us on a way too often basis, a way too regular basis? That's the Romans 7 thing. Oh, wretched man that I am. My life is a mess. You know, you think of the believers, we think of the rewards, and I was thinking of this passage in 1 Corinthians. You know, some people, you know, have gold and silver, but some people end up with hay and stubble. Now, it goes to the bottom of that, and it says, that doesn't mean they're lost, but everything burned. That's when we live life on empty. And then we get to the end of life and we think, oh man, this was way too, I lost way too much. Now, think about that verse back in Romans 8, 6. The mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Isn't that what we want? I mean, just think, if you could just pick two things, life and peace. Abundant life and just ongoing peace. Now, I think we all need to recognize, we need to keep growing. We need to keep making steps up the spiral. But we want to keep making. God has made all the provision. You know, we said recognize our flesh, and we've already talked about that again and again. Recognize our flesh. But then we need to remember that Christ has provided everything. In Romans 6:11, we talked about this. Reckon, count, be confident. Christ has made every provision, that we're dead to sin, alive to God. We don't have to give in. The provision is made. But the Spirit of God, we rely on the Spirit of God to make this practical. So that's why we walk by the Spirit. Christ has made every provision, but the Spirit makes it practical every day. And so we rely on the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. And in that, we put to death the deeds of the body. When we're tempted, when we're all tempted at times, when we're tempted, we can say no to it. Knowing why? Because we're strong? No. Because Christ has made the provision. And the Spirit of God is at work. He's within me. And I'm going to move forward in dependence and obedience. Because God wants me to be obedient. Trust and obey. You know, I said that so many times. There's no other way. There's no other way. Trust in the Lord. Obey the Lord. And one puts it this way. The Holy Spirit present in the believer breaks the grip of sin and quickens even mortal bodies. We can live a righteous and fulfilling life through the Spirit. Life that full experience of human potential in intimate relationship with God becomes possible for the Christian. And I think it's just so encouraging, but it also challenges us. We don't want to leave mediocre lives. I know none of you want to leave a mediocre life or you wouldn't be here. I understand that, right? But we don't want to start taking little steps going down that spiral staircase and then end up, and then one day you wake up and or you see somebody and they say, man, I don't even believe there is a God. Or I don't go there anymore. I'm not, you know, that's not my thing anymore. No, no, no. We don't want to have a barren life. We want to have an abundant life. And that comes as we walk by the Spirit, depending on Christ, honoring our Father. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to honor you. We thank you that you've made life possible. You've given us life. We have eternal life. And now we want to enjoy that life. We want to enjoy abundant life. And we know that there's a lot of trip strings, and we just pray you'll protect us. I pray that we'll have a heart to walk close to you, that we'll not make foolish choices. And I pray, Father, I know everyone here wants to walk with you. Father, we pray that you'll give us testimonies of abundant life. Not that it's an easy life, but a life lived close to you, so that other people, we can encourage other people to walk close to you and other people to come to you. May we be used of the Lord to be an arrow to point to Christ. So we pray we'll not be barren, but we will be abundant. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.